Thank you very much for coming, learning together, Daf Hayomi. We are learning Bi Emeret, Lili Nishmas. Chaya Meira Nachama Bracha Lea Shalom Bas, our friend, Rav David Mordechai. And let's start again from the Mishnah, which we ran through quickly at the end yesterday. We're at the Mishnah on Kuf Vav Amid Beis. Says the Mishnah, back to the issues of milk and meat, after all the issues of washing hands. Tzorer adam basar ugvina b'mitpachas achas. A person can bundle together meat and cheese in a single kerchief. Ubavachli shelo yunogin zebaze, as long as they are not touching each other. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, Shnei achsanayim, if it's two guests who don't know each other and are not friendly with each other, Ochlan al shulchan echad, they can eat on the same table in the inn. Ze basar v'ze gvina, this one meat and this one cheese. Ein choshen, we're not worried that they might end up eating milk and meat together, because this guy doesn't know who that guy is, and that guy doesn't know who this guy is. So no one's going to be able to take, you know, oh, let me snack some of your meat, let me snack some of your cheese. Hey, what are you doing? Who are you? What do you get out of here? So when we're not worried that they're going to mix together, then they can both be eating off of the same table. Says the Gemara, talking about the first law of the Mishnah, that you shouldn't have in a single bundle meat and cheese touching each other. Who cares if it would touch each other? Tzonin b'tzonin, who? It's just cold with cold. So Amar Abaye, Abaye said, okay, nihita klipa lo boy, it's true. When it's cold and cold, there's no absorption. You don't have to peel away, let's say, the outer peel of the cheese or the outer peel of the milk. But still, you still need washing. So you still need washing. So that's why you shouldn't put the two together, because maybe a little cheese crumbs will get onto the meat and people won't wash the meat off. So you do need washing. Therefore, you can't transport them together. Then the Mishnah said, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Shnei achsanayim, two guests, Ochlen al shulchan echad, can be eating on the same table. Zebasar v'zekvina. One can be eating cheese and the other one can be eating meat. I'm Rav Chanan bar Ami, Amar Shmuel. Rav Chanan bar Ami, the name of Shmuel. Lo shana, lo shema kirin zetze. What's the law of Rav Shimon Gamliel all about? Two guests who don't know each other. They don't recognize each other. They're not friendly with each other. So therefore they can eat, even though they're on the same table, one cheese and one milk, they're not going to mix with each other. Avo makirin zetze. But if the two guests are friendly with each other, usser, now they eat on the same table. Milk and cheese, because then the milk and cheese might get mixed up with each other.
This is in public, right? Not in somebody's house.
In somebody's house. They're guests at a house.
They're guests at a house, but they don't know each other.
They don't know each other. It's an inn. It's a hotel. We also did a brice like this. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shnei Achsanayim Shnitz Archu Lepundak Echad, two guests who come to the same inn. Zeba Minat Safon, Zeba Minat Darom. One is coming from Kiryat Shmona, the other one's coming from Sderot. Zeba Bachati Chasov, Zeba Begvinaso. This one comes with his piece of meat, and this one comes with his cheese. Ochlan al Shulchan Echad, they can eat on the same table. Zebaser, one is eating meat, Vezegvina, the other one's eating cheese. Vein Choshen, they're not worried that it's going to mix. Lo asru, when did they prohibit? Ella betfisa achas. They only prohibited in the same place. So Gemara says, what does that mean? Tfisa achas al kadaitach, literally eating together. I mean, if they're literally eating together, how could they eat together milk and meat? No. Ella, what he means is ke'en tfisa achas. In other words, they're not allowed to eat milk and meat on the same table, let's say on the same tablecloth, without any barrier. But even if it's two friends, they're eating on the same tablecloth, but there's some barrier between them, so that's not like the same thing. And then they're allowed to eat, even though one is eating meat and the other one is eating cheese.
Regardless of if they're friends or not friends.
Yeah, even friends can eat on the same table as long as there's a barrier between them. Amar le Rav Yemer bar Shalmaya la Abaye. Rav Yemer bar Shalmaya asked the following question to Abaye. Shnei Achen, let's say they're not strangers. They're two brothers. But they don't get along. So the two brothers, this one would get upset if the other one would take some of his food. So Ma, what's the halacha? Do we say, since they know each other, maybe they're going to mix? Maybe we say, since they're particular with each other, they won't mix with each other. Amar le Abaye said to Rav Yemer bar Shalmaya, This is what, we can't make distinctions like this. You know, we have to have rules. We can't start saying, well, the rule doesn't apply in this case. It's confusing for people. That we learned back in Masechet Pesachim. Yomru, people are going to say, Kol Asrikin Asurin, all matzos that have, you know, shapes on them and, you know, various decorations are not allowed. But Srike Baisos Mutarim, but these matzos of this fellow Baisos, they are allowed. It'll be confusing. People are going to think, well, they won't realize the differences. So the same thing here. We want to have rules. We don't want people to eat milk and meat at the same table. To say, well, normally they can't have milk and meat at the same table, but if it's brothers who don't get along, then yes. That's going to be too confusing for people. So therefore, even brothers who don't get along, they're brothers, they know each other, they can't have milk and meat at the same table unless they have a hefsek. So Gemara says, if that's your reasoning, we have in many places that we make exceptions. Why should we make exceptions? For example, Hadam Rav Asi, Am Rav Yochanan, we know that you're not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. But Mishein lo elo chaluk echad, someone who only has a single garment, mutar lechabso b'chol shel moed, he's allowed to wash it and do the laundry on Chol HaMoed. So one second, why don't we say the same thing? Yomru, people are going to say, now starting today's daf, Kol HaSrikin HaSurin, all the matzos that have, you know, decorations on them are not allowed. Srike Baisos Mutarim, but the matzos from this fellow Baisos who had these shapes, and the matzos were made in these molds, they are allowed. It's going to be confusing for people. Mar said, no, there, it's not so confusing for people. Why? Because Hasam Amar Mar Baravashi Zura Mochiach Aleph. Person always wears a belt. If a person only has a single garment, so when he's washing his garment, he's washing the belt with the garment too. If a person has multiple garments, so when he's washing a garment, that garment is being washed, but the belt is on because he's wearing the belt. But if you see that not only is the garment being washed, but the belt is being washed with it, because the guy only has a single garment, so when his garment is dirty, his belt is dirty, everything's got to be washed. And everybody knows he only has a single garment, so that's different. And it's not like Srike Baisos. Srike Baisos look like other Srike. They look like other... Now they're decorated matzos. So we can't say we'll allow this, but we won't allow that. Because that'll be confusing. People think, well, if you allow this, you're allowing really the other decorated matzos too. But when it comes to where it's apparent and understandable and recognizable what it is that you're allowing and why you allow it, then you're allowed to allow it. It's a recognizable exception. So the same thing is true. We have a rule. You can't have milk and meat together. You can't eat milk and meat on the same table. But if it's understandable why you'd be allowed to, then you are allowed to. So people don't get along. It's understandable. They're not going to mix the milk and meat. So then you could have it. But two brothers, people are not going to know that. They're going to say, oh, these are brothers. They're friends. So then you can't have milk and meat at the same table without some type of hefsek, some type of barrier between them. Okay, now we start a very famous mishnah, a very famous sugya in all of Hilchos Kashrus, the issue of again, chaticha naaseis nevela. If a piece of meat gets some milk falling into it, so what happens to the entirety of the piece of meat? And that gets extended to generally the concept of tam ki ikar. If you have, let's say, a little bit of tray pork that somebody heats up and the fat of the pork drops into, I don't know, one drop of fat falls into a vegetable, a potato. So the potato absorbed the fat. So now do we need 60 times the drop of fat, or do we need 60 times the potato? Since the whole potato absorbed the fat and went into the potato first, maybe we have to look at the whole potato. And when we need to annul it, we need to annul 60 times the potato. This is the question called chaticha naaseis nevela. Does the piece that's holding iser, does the whole piece get considered as one big piece of nevela? Or can we say, no, the amount of iser in the piece is what we need to annul, but not that we need to annul the entire piece. So says the Mishnah, tipas chalav. Let's say you have a drop of milk, shenafla ala chaticha, that falls on one of the pieces of meat in the pot roast. So you're making a pot roast of 50 pieces of meat with some gravy, and a piece of, a drop of milk fell into the top piece of the pot roast, and you didn't stir up the pot. So since you didn't stir up the pot, where did that milk go? Just into that piece initially. So now, Im yesh ba bino sein tam ba'osa chaticha, if the milk is going to still be giving taste into that piece, in other words, that piece is not 60 times as much as that drop of milk, aser, so that piece becomes prohibited. Because now if you can feel the taste of milk, so the milk is still there. And then the meat is there, clearly. So then you're eating milk and meat. That would be prohibited.
But even if this piece of meat was 60 times greater than that drop of milk, if it permeates and tastes through the whole thing, isn't it...
Correct. That's correct. That's exactly what we said. We said if the piece is not 60 times, so that the taste of the milk is still felt in this piece, the whole piece becomes prohibited. Because when you eat that piece, you're going to be tasting milk and meat. But if that single piece is 60 times, then the taste will dissipate. If the taste dissipates, then you can eat the meat.
So we're making that assumption. We're saying that's for sure.
That's yeah. 60.
But what happens if the knife is a milky knife instead of meaty knife?
Yeah.
You cut the meat with it.
So we'll get to that.
Is that a drop of? Is it considered as a drop of meat?
So that's what we call no saint tam, right? It has milk tastes in it. It gives a taste. Because of the milk that went into it. No
right.
Same time.
Okay.
Gives a taste. It's not the same thing as a piece of...
So the whole meat is not good anymore?
Let's see. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. Depends if... We'll have to see when the knife was used last. You know, what's the nature of this taste in the knife? Was it used within 24 hours? Was it used all a week ago?
Wow. Calculations.
Yeah, a lot of factors have to be brought in. Right? Is the knife clean? You have to look at all these factors. Okay, so again, we're talking about a drop of milk that falls into a pot of pot roast, and the drop of milk fell onto the top piece, and a person did not stir the whole pot. So now we look at that piece. Im yesh ba bino sein tam, if the milk is giving taste to that piece. Im yesh ba bino sein tam bo sa chaticha, if the milk is giving taste to that piece, also that piece becomes prohibited. However, if the drop of milk falls into the pot roast, and near a sakdera, right away, the guy shakes up the whole pot. Right away, when the milk falls in, he shakes up the whole pot. So now, what happened to the milk? It spread out the whole pot. So, im yesh babino sein tam bo sakdera, if the whole pot is less than 60 of that drop of milk, so the drop of milk is giving taste through that whole pot, aser, the pot is prohibited. But if the... whole pot is, let's say, 60 relative to the drop of milk. So since he shook it up right away, we're not looking at the single piece. We're looking at the whole pot. The whole pot is enough to annul it, and it would be permitted. Okay, so that's the halacha about milk and meat. So now Abaye goes from milk and meat to talk about treif, to talk about, let's say, a piece of hot, a drop of hot pig fat. Amar Abaye. Abaye said like this, Tamo velo mamasha. When you're dealing just with tastes, but no longer with the essence, ba'alma, all over, d'oraisa, you're dealing with a biblical prohibition. So let's say a piece of pork falls into my vegetable stew. It's a piece of pig fat. And a guy says, oh my gosh, there's pig fat in the stew, and the stew's cooking. So he pulls out the piece of pig. Okay, so the pig is out. But you know what? It was there for a little bit. So the taste is still there. The taste went out of the pig and got into the stew. So taste without any principle is still a biblical problem. If you can taste the taste, because the taste, let's say, is it's less than 60 to this taste, then the whole thing is prohibited biblically. Not prohibited rabbinically, it's prohibited biblically. We don't say, oh, well, since the majority is not pig, therefore, biblically, it's okay, because biblically, achei rabim lahatos, we say, no. Biblically, ta'am ki'ikar. When you feel the taste, it's as if the whole thing is there. My taima, so now, disakotaita, because if you're going to think to say, drabanan, that biblically, when you have a majority, it's annulled. And it's a rabbinic law that when there's a taste, it's prohibited. So then, why would you say that? Mibasar b'chalav, my taima lo gaminim. Why wouldn't we derive from milk and meat, just like in milk and meat, as we learn in our Mishnah, taste of milk creates a problem. So we should learn from there to all over the tastes of prohibited create a problem. So what are you going to say? We're not going to learn from milk and meat. To chiddushu, you say, no, milk and meat is something novel. Something novel. Since it's something novel, we won't learn from it. So one second. Chiddushu, if it's really novel, Afal gavdol ekanos. Why is milk and meat novel? Because milk on its own is mutter, is permitted, and meat on its own is permitted. So on their own they're okay, but when you put them together they become not okay. That's very strange. Makes no sense. How could kosher with kosher together become non-kosher? That's so bizarre. Each one on its own is kosher. So that's a novel idea. So you can't learn from that. But it's not true, because if you're going to say that, if milk and meat is a novelty, then milk and meat should be prohibited even when they don't give taste to each other. Even when the milk falls into 70 times, it should be prohibited because they'll say it's novel. It's a new thing. But the fact that we don't say that, we say no. If it fell into 70 times, it's permitted because the milk dissipates. So you see that there is a concept of ta'am ki ikar, of the taste being what matters in milk and meat. So we can learn from milk and meat to all areas of halacha. Amale Rav, Rav said to Abai, it's not a proof. It's not a proof. I could tell you that you can't learn from milk and meat because milk and meat is a novelty. So you say, well, if milk and meat is a novelty, so then even when the milk doesn't give a taste, it should create a prohibition. Why would we have the law of our Mishnah? I'll tell you why. Derech Bishul Asra Torah. The Torah said three times, Lo Tivashel Gedi B'chalevi Mo. Don't cook a kid goat meat in the milk of its mother. The Torah said three times, don't cook. So what did the Torah prohibit? Cooking. So if it's not going to give a taste, if you have a drop of milk in 70 times as much meat, that's not cooking. Right? When I'm cooking two things because I want the tastes to be felt of both, I'm not going to put in a spice if the spice is not going to be felt, and it's a waste. So derech bishul asur Torah, the Torah prohibits milk and meat that are cooked together, so therefore they had to be giving taste to each other.
So, but the time is very important here. Tasting.
The taste, correct.
So everybody's times, their level is different. Right? Mm-hmm. So how do you measure it?
You have Fela, we have chefs, that non-Jewish chefs, that we ask them to taste it for us.
That's why today, especially with the Ramah rule, there is no more, we don't do go anymore. Even the Spartans do it, we don't let the go taste
it,
we just do
it. Right. Because they'll mess you up.
Now we just measure it by the proportion of 60.
Well,
we don't really have that. Truma would be something where you could have a Kohen taste.
Vegetables too, you have milk fell into it. You don't know if it's dairy or not.
Yes.
Based on the rules.
Yes.
Taste.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said if you had a drop of milk fall into a piece, so then we just look at that piece. If that piece is less than 60 of the drop, the piece becomes prohibited. I'm a Rav. Rav said what the Mishnah means to say is like this. Since the drop of milk has put a taste into that piece of meat in the pot roast, chaticha atzma nasas nevela. That piece itself becomes all nevela. It's all prohibited. It's all milk and meat. Now the meat of that piece is prohibited because that meat has a taste of milk in it. So now the taste that come out of that piece will prohibit kala chatichos kul and all the other pieces of the pot roast, mipnei shein mina, because it's type with its own type. The meat is mixing with meat. The meat itself became prohibited. That meat, because it had milk in it, so the meat became prohibited. So once the meat became prohibited, so now meat coming, the taste coming out of that is as a type. With all the other pieces of meat, is type with its own type, and type with its own type is not annulled. Marzucha, the son of Rav Mari, said to Ravina, Mechti. Let's take a look. Rav Kiman Amar Lishmaite. Who's Rav following? Krib Yehuda, Damar Min B'mina Lo Bat. It says when you have types with its own type, they don't lose their identity. So one second. Lema Pli Gad Rava. So are we saying that this is against Rava? Damar Rava. Because didn't Rava say, Kasav Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda holds, Kol Shu Min Umino Vidavar Acher. When you have a mixture of type with its type, plus with another type. So the type is both with its type and with another type. And that other type has enough to annul it. So then, salekis mino kamisha eno. So then pretend that the type with its own type, its own type is not a promise if it's not there. She'eno mino rabba alav umevatlo. The thing with it's not its type should be able to annul it. So what do you have here? You have here pot roast. You have pieces of meat and you have gravy. Okay, so the first piece of meat had a drop of milk fall into it. So now that piece of meat became prohibited. Okay, so the meat is prohibited. So now you have prohibited meat with other pieces of meat. Fine, so those other pieces of meat will not annul this piece of meat or the taste of this piece of meat that comes out of it. But there's also gravy here. Gravy is not meat. So let the gravy annul that piece of meat, or let the gravy annul the tastes that come out of the piece of meat. Why are we saying that there's a problem here? Amar le, Ravina said to Mar Zutra, listen, idinafu barot of raka chanami. If the piece, right, if we're talking about, if we have ibarot of raka, if we have soft gravy, hachanami, you're right, soft gravy is not the same type as meat. But you know what we're talking about here? Erotev ava. We're talking about very thick gravy. The thick gravy. So thick gravy is meat. That's already type with its own type. So that's why it can't annul the taste of the meat that come out. So now the Gemara says, let's go back to Rav's idea. Rav says the piece of meat, the first piece of meat that had a drop of milk fall into it, the whole meat becomes prohibited. The meat of it is prohibited. So one second. What does Rav hold? If Rav holds that when you're able to squeeze out the prohibited, things can go back to becoming permitted. So now, in this case, you had a drop of milk fall into a piece of meat. But if you cook that piece of meat, the milk's going to go out of it. So chaticha amai nasis devela. Why does Rav say that the whole piece is prohibited? It's only prohibited because of the milk in it. This milk is only going to be a problem as long as it gives a taste. Now, if you're going to cook this piece of meat that had milk and meat in it, that had milk in it, the taste is going to get out. So therefore, why are you saying that the meat is prohibited? It's not the meat that's prohibited. The taste is a problem, but this taste could come out. Ella, so apparently, Kasava Rav holds that when you have milk falling into meat, even if Efshel is sochto, even though were you to cook that piece, the taste would come out, doesn't matter. It stays aser. It would now stay prohibited. It's as if it's a piece of nevela. The Itmar, as we've learned, Rav, Rav Hanina, and Rav Yochanan de Amri, they all say, Efshel is sochto, even though you could squeeze out the taste of the milk, Aser, its day is prohibited. Shmuel, Reb Shimon, Reb Reish Lakish Amri, and Shmuel, Reb Shimon Barabi, and Reish Lakish say, Efshel l'sochto mutter. That if you can squeeze it out, it will become permitted. So now we understand why Rav said that if milk fell into a piece of meat, the meat itself becomes prohibited, and now whatever tastes this meat gives off are going to create other problems. We said, why? Why is the milk itself? Why is the meat itself prohibited? You can just take out the milk. The answer is, Rav holds, even if you would take out the milk, too late. Once it became prohibited as milk and meat, even though you could remove the taste of the milk, you can't make it kosher again. It stays prohibited forever. So the Gemara asks, "V'savar Rav efshel l'sochto aser?" Does Rav hold that even when you could pull out a taste, it still stays prohibited? V'itmar, but didn't we learn the other way? Not milk going into meat, but meat going into milk. Kazayas basar shenaf letoch yora shel chalav. Let's say you have an olive worth of meat. It falls into a big pot of boiling milk. Amar Rav, Rav said, so basar aser. So that olive worth of meat absorbed milk. Well, that's certainly a problem. But the chalav mutter. But the milk is all permitted because you only have an olive worth of meat, and you have this huge pot of milk. So the olive worth is not 1/60th of the pot, it's, I don't know, 1/1000th of the pot. So all the tastes of meat that go out of the meat, they now lose themselves in the 1,000 times as much as them of milk. Now, Esau Kataitach, if you're going to tell me, Efshel l'sochto aser, that even when you have a taste, when a taste goes into something else of milk and meat, even if you could remove the taste, it would still stay prohibited. So now, chalav amai mutter. Why is the milk of this pot permitted? Turning to kuf chesamid beis. Chalav nevei lahu. What you have here is prohibited milk. Right? Because think about this. You had an olive worth of meat fall into the pot. So milk got into that olive worth, and some of the milk came out because it's a boiling pot. So there's some milk that went into the meat and came out of the meat. So now, why are you going to say that the pot is permitted? The little bit of milk that came out should be prohibited milk, and then you have a type with its own type, milk with milk, and prohibit the whole pot. Okay. So what are you going to say? No, the milk went into the meat. It got taste of meat. But then when it comes out of the meat, the taste of the milk spreads throughout this huge pot of milk. And now it lost the taste of meat. It became permitted. So you see that efshel l'sochto, that if you can squeeze the taste out, it goes back to being permitted. So not that efshel l'sochto, if you squeeze the taste out, the meat stays prohibited. It becomes permitted.
In both situations, the ratio of 60 to 1 is allowed.
Sure.
So he's saying the status of the meat can go from kosher to non-kosher.
Yes.
But I thought we said that won't.
It's a machlokas. It's an argument, right? One opinion says when you have milk going into meat, that's it. Now the meat stays is prohibited forever. And even if you took the milk out, the other view says no. The whole problem was milk and meat. So once you take the milk out, then it becomes permitted. So now we're saying we have a problem within Rav. What does Rav hold? Right. The Gemara says, "Lo, la, merely I'll tell you, kasavar, Rav holds, efshel l'sochto, aser. If you have milk going into meat, even if you could take the milk out, the meat would stay prohibited. Aye, so if that's the case, why does Rav say that when you have a kazayas of meat in a big, big pot, a yora, big, big pot of milk, that the milk is permitted, some of the milk that went into the meat came back out, and that milk stays prohibited forever. No, shani hasam, there it's different. Since Hashem said, Amar kralo sevashel gediba chalevimo, don't cook a kid in its mother's milk. So Rav's going to tell you, gediyas retor avalo chalav. Rav holds that the problem is meat getting milk taste, but there's no problem of milk getting meat taste. Because Hashem said, don't cook the kid in its mother's milk. So the problem is the meat. The meat can't get taste of milk. But milk can get tastes of meat. So that's why if you have a kazayas of meat falling into the pot, so now the kazayas is going to have milk taste, because it's a lot of milk and only a little bit of meat. The milk, okay, it's true, a little bit of the milk that's here in the pot has some meat taste in it. But so what? It's no problem of milk carrying meat taste. And Rav says, that's not true. The Safar Rav Gadiyas Rator Velochalav. Do you think Rav thinks that the law of milk and meat is just the milk? I'm sorry, just the meat could be the problem, not the milk? Hayitman, we learned explicitly. Let's say a person has Chatzi Zayas Basar, half an olive worth of meat. The chatzi zayas chalav, and half an olive worth of milk. Shebishlan zaimzet, that he cooks them together, and then he eats them. Amar Rav, Rav says, lo kalachilaso. He gets malchus for eating milk and meat. They no lo kal bishula, but he doesn't get malchus for the cooking because he only cooked half a kazayas of each. Yisak adaitach, we're going to tell me, gdias retor v'lo chalav. What Hashem has prohibited is the meat and not the milk. Sahila my lucky. Why should he be getting malchus for the eating? Chatzi shiur hu. He only ate half a kazayas. Ela sarader le'olam. I have to tell you, kasaver Rav has to hold. Chalav namias. When you have milk and meat, the milk also becomes prohibited. V'hacha, but over here, b'mayaskina. What are we dealing with? Kishenafal l'toch yora rosachas. With the meat, this kazayas of meat, fell into a big pot of boiling milk. It fell into boiling milk. So since it fell into boiling milk, the mivla bala, the mead absorbed tastes from the milk, but miflet lo palat, but nothing came out of the meat. Nothing came out of the meat, because it was all boiling. So since it was boiling, it was too busy boiling to absorb anything. So that's why no milk came out of the meat. Really, Rav holds, efshe l'sochto, if you could pull the taste out of something. So now it becomes permitted again. But here, you couldn't take the milk out of the meat at all, because it was too boiling, and you took it out when it was still boiling. So therefore, the meat became prohibited because it absorbed the taste, and the milk is permitted. So the Gemara said, one second, but sof, even if it was boiling, kinayach, once it stops boiling, hadar palat. So then the meat should regurgitate the tastes of milk that it got. I'm sorry, the little bit of milk that went into the meat should now go out into the milk. Answer is because she called them a sulko. It took the meat out of the pot before the pot stopped boiling. So since he took the meat out before the pot stopped boiling, the meat which came in cool and it wasn't boiling, the meat could absorb milk, but the meat didn't release any milk. And therefore, this law that Rav said that the meat, that the pot is permitted, but the meat is prohibited, is not a contradiction to the concept that Rav says generally, efshel esochto stays aser. Here the milk was permitted because there was no efshel esochto, because the milk that went into the milk that went into the meat didn't go back out into the rest of the milk. So the milk stayed permitted because that didn't absorb from the meat, whereas the meat became prohibited. All right, going back to the halacha of half a kezias of meat and half a kezias of milk. Gufa, we learned. Chatzi zayis basar. Let's say a person has half an olive worth of meat, but chatzi zayis chalav, and takes another half an olive worth of milk. Shebishlan zeim ze, he cooks the two halves of an olive with each other and he eats them. Amarav Rav said lokal lechila, so he'd get lashes for eating milk and meat. Then a lokal bishulo, but he wouldn't get lashes for the cooking. So I said, well, I understand, manavshach. I understand, manavshach. Imitz darfin, if milk and meat should combine because they're both a prohibition together, abishul nami loki. So then he cooked the kezias of what's prohibited. He should get malchus for the cooking. Be lomitz darfin, if they don't combine, achila nami lo lilki. He shouldn't get lashes for the eating either. Says the Gemara la'olam, lomitz darfin. Really, the milk and meat don't combine. But, uveva miyora gadola. We're talking about a case when they were cooked in a single big pot. They were cooked in a single big pot. In this big pot, there was a kezias of meat, and there was a kezias of chalav. And he took out of this pot half a kezias of meat and half a kezias of chalav, and he ate it. So that's when he gets malchus. The second case of Rav, where Rav says if he cooks together half a kezias and half a kezias, he doesn't get malchus, is where he cooked together. Initially, in the pot, there was only half an olive worth of meat and half an olive worth of, let's say, milk. And Rav said he doesn't get malchus for the cooking, but he also wouldn't get malchus for the eating of such a thing, because it never was prohibited, because it wasn't enough to prohibit. But if initially you had an olive worth of meat and an olive worth of milk, so initially you created a prohibition, and there was a prohibition really in that cooking, and the eating of that would also be prohibited, eating half an olive of each. Levi Amar, Levi said, no. Af lokel bishulo. If you cook together half an olive worth of milk and half an olive worth of meat, you would get malchus for the cooking. V'chein tani Levi masnisin, that's what Levi said. K'shem shalokel achilas, so the same way he'd get malchus for the eating, kach lo kal bishulo, he'd also get malchus for the cooking. Ube'eze bishul omrim. Now, what type of cooking is cooking that we say is the prohibition of cooking milk and meat? The answer is, bishul, if it was cooked enough, Shacherim ochlin osal machmas bishulo, that others, namely non-Jews, would feel that it's cooked, and they would eat it because they feel it's fully cooked.
A Jew can't be a chef in a non-kosher restaurant?
Correct.
Okay.
No. So we're not allowed to cook milk and meat.
Even
in fact,
if it's not for your own consumption.
Right.
However, if you want to make something for the dog and milk to dog food,
can't.
You cannot allow to.
Yeah, you can't get any benefit from. What do you mean?
If you don't want to put cheese on top of dog food, you're not cooking it.
That's true. But if it's hot milk, if it's hot food, the cheese would melt. That would be cooking. That's true.
Good.
If it's cold, you could
wow.
put.
But sometimes I put cheese and I'll put it in the dog bowl.
But is the food in the dog bowl hot or cold?
No, it's dry food.
Dry, it's okay. But if it's hot, it would be a problem. You
better
can't.
Better to have no dog.
is the mixing in meat and milk, is it problematic for a Jewish person to cook non-kosher? Or the mixing of the meat and milk is the problem?
He can't cook. Well, there are two problems. He's not allowed to cook milk and meat. And he's not allowed to derive any benefit from cooked milk and meat. So I'm not allowed to get any benefit from cooked milk and meat. So if I'm in a restaurant and they're cooking milk and meat, and I'm serving, I'm getting benefit. I'm getting a salary. I'm getting benefit from it. So I can't do that.
So not even be a cook. Like you can't even be the waiter.
Maybe even that. Yeah. You can't really work in a non-kosher restaurant of milk and meat. If other types of non-kosher, there's another prohibition. You're not supposed to get your livelihood from treif. But certainly cooking milk and meat is a problem. There are even poskim who say, as far as I know, I'm not sure if there's any poskim who are matzir, they will prohibit going to cooking school. Because they say that in the cooking schools, even if you don't have to taste it, they say the skill that you're gaining is through the cooking of milk and meat. So it's true, you're observing. But that observing is very expensive. You pay $30,000 to be able to observe the expert chef mix together milk and meat. So that's benefiting from milk and meat. And therefore, I have a cousin who's a chef, and she couldn't find any rabbi who would permit her to go to cooking school because they cook milk and meat together. So she became a pastry chef because she couldn't go to any cooking school. I know there's been attempts to make a kosher culinary academy, but it's been very hard to get it off the ground. It's very hard because all the cooking schools are mixing together milk and meat. But we're not allowed to get benefit from milk and meat that are cooked together.
Rabbi, what it means by benefit maybe is hunger satisfaction. That's benefit.
Benefit is any financial, anything worth money that you get from it. Any
Rabbi
benefit
Baruch.
Worth money.
That's
benefit.
Rabbi Baruch is going to open a culinary school.
Oh, it's good. It's a good business. Open a culinary school, all kosher. In Israel they have. Rabbi